Before we dive into the scripture together, Shannon, I thought of a metaphor of how my family has felt feeling the love of this congregation this weekend. And it's a fire hydrant on full blast. But instead of being overwhelming, we feel the joy of children who get to play in the street, running through and laughing together. We are grateful to be here, and we're grateful to feel so much love for this church in all of you, as well as the excitement that's here. So that said, I pray that you'll join me now in the reading of Holy Scripture. I'll be reading today, as Shannon said, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 3 through 11. Hear these words. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your hearts, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. May God add to the reading and understanding of Holy Scripture. We pray with me. Lord, as the psalmist wrote, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd rather walk barefoot through a truck stop bathroom than go out with you. Let me back up. Have you ever had selective memory? My wife says that I have two main personality flaws. One is selective memory, and the other, honey, I'm having trouble remembering that one. But I'm sure I'll give you opportunity to tell me what that is later. The point is, we all have selective memory from time to time. It happens unconsciously, of course. Without a lot of practice and mental training, we have very little control over what our short-term memory converts into long-term memory. And one thing I cannot seem to forget, no matter how hard I try, is I'd rather walk barefoot through a truck stop bathroom than go out with you. No, that's not what my junior year crush told me when I asked her to prom. What she said was far more hurtful. No, that's the title of the song that our youth camp pastor performed for us at the Garden City Chapel and Retreat Center in South Carolina when I was 12 years old. This pastor was a great big Texas boy, ex-football player, had an impressive repertoire of borderline inappropriate songs. Other titles include Don't Sweat on Me, or Honey, Put Down the Shotgun and I'll Marry You. And of course, I'd rather walk barefoot through a truck stop bathroom than go out with you. That song has been rattling around my brain for nearly three decades, and I can't remember what that man preached about at that youth camp. I can't remember any of the scripture stories that he preached on. I don't remember anything of a spiritual nature. I do remember that my friends and I had a lot of fun and that we formed lasting relationships, some of which still persist today. And I'm ashamed to admit that that nonsense has outlived far more important information in my brain, like loved ones' birthdays or important phone numbers and appointments. If it weren't for the alerts that I get on my phone, my kids might never have seen the inside of a dentist's office. Selective memory is a funny thing, but it's not necessarily a bad one. This is true when I think back on my experience at seminary, at the Wake Forest University School of Divinity. I would love to stand up here and impress you all with my knowledge of biblical languages or with my ability to dissect complex theological concepts with surgical precision, but the truth is, I haven't retained a lot of that academic information. Now, the things that used to fill out the backside of my study group flashcards, that's faded into oblivion, and it's been replaced with experience. But I'll tell you what I have saved from that time, and it's saved me from time to time. I remember getting an education in community. I remember the love that existed within that community, which was made up of people from diverse ethnic backgrounds, diverse generations, diverse denominations, all of us toiling and studying and learning and growing together with the common purpose, the common mission of being the presence of Jesus Christ in the world. This community offered me a glimpse of what Jesus often refers to as the kingdom of God. I recall so fondly those friendships formed during seminary, and yet, because of my selective memory, I seem to forget sometimes that those friendships were forged through fire or challenge, in a sense. It's easy to forget the all-nighters that we did in Z. Smith Reynolds' library during finals week, fueled by nothing but caffeine and junk food and prayer. It's easy to forget how the triumph of completing a 30-page homiletics paper disintegrates upon the horrifying realization that there's another 25-page paper due first thing in the morning for Old Testament. I remember, despite all of that stress and exhaustion, that we were not alone, that we had a loving and supporting community toiling right along beside us. Perhaps you're familiar with that expression, tragedy plus time equals comedy. Well, selective memory is that thing that allows us to think back on times of challenge and laugh. It's how we can recall with fondness the incredible events and the wonderful people that were in our lives along the way. Paul's opening words to the Philippians offer a similar expression of selective remembrance. I don't mean to diminish his words in any way, but I do mean that if you were to flip through the pages of the New Testament and read the first greetings that Paul issues other various churches, you're likely to notice that he uses a very consistent formula that was indicative of a first century letter. He begins with initial blessings, something to the effect of grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this regard, Philippians is no different. But in most other letters, Paul would then typically launch right into the heart of the matter. This is why I'm writing to you. These are the things that need correcting in your community, and this is how you do it. While the letter to the Philippians includes some teaching from Paul, he doesn't begin with these admonitions or scolding. It's clear from this letter that Paul held the Philippian believers in a very special regard. We know that Philippi was one of the few churches we believe Paul founded himself. We know that they sometimes supported Paul's ministry with financial gifts. If you take a look at the powerful language he uses, it's uncommonly affectionate for him. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for you, for all of you. Verse 7, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me. And verse 9, for God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Joy seems to be a central theme in Philippians. In the entire letter, Paul uses some version of the Greek word for joy a total of 14 times. In some cases, he expresses personal joy or a great cause for rejoicing, and in others, he's rejoicing together with the Philippians in spirit. And more than in any other letter that we have, Paul is more open with his emotions. He uses this very curious phrase that when you look at the literal translation of it, it doesn't sound right to modern ears. He claims to love the Philippians, literally, with the bowels of Christ. Now, that expression sounds strange to you and me, doesn't it? But it helps to know that the Israelites believed that the guts, the organs in your center, this torso region, was the seat of human emotion. You and I might subscribe symbolically those things to the heart, but the Jews of Paul's times, they used the bowels. So if you really want to tell someone how deeply you feel for them, try out that expression. I love you deep down in the bowels. You're sure to see them again. It's rare to see Paul gushing so much in his writings, but clearly his experience with the Philippians at his experience with the believers at Philippi impacted him on a deep level. Even though we don't have the specific details of those in his writings, we can tell that he shared wonderful days with the Philippians. And therein lies Paul's selective memory, because we also know that the time Paul spent in Philippi was not all sunshine and daisies. The book of Acts reminds us that while he and Silas were beginning their ministry together in Philippi, they ran afoul of some important citizens. They were labeled disturbers of the peace. They were carried away by a mob. They were stripped naked. They were beaten with rods. They finally were placed in chains and sent to the deepest, darkest prison cell of the local jail. Clearly, Philippi was not just some paradise for Paul. In addition to his unlawful arrest, he endured persecution and violence, not to mention the emotional and the psychological torment of an uncertain future. But Paul had to remember his imprisonment in Philippi very acutely, because once again, when he wrote Philippians, he was writing from the inside of a prison cell somewhere else in the world. Instead of writing of despair or fear, what did he write about? Joy, confidence, selective memory. It allows us to celebrate the good things that we've entered our lives as we've walked the unpredictable pathways of life. I say walk. Sometimes we're walking tall. Sometimes we're stomping enthusiastically, or we're parading and dancing even. But we also know that sometimes we're trudging, we're stumbling, we're tripping, we're falling. We can remember the friendships that we made and the strength that we discovered within ourselves because God placed good people in our lives. People that we cling to in times of trouble and embrace in times of celebration. I know very well that Zebulun Baptist Church has a lot of love and goodness to remember. Just as I know that every day between the founding of this church and today have not all been smooth sailing. You've enjoyed the gift of a wonderful and caring pastor in Jack Glasgow for over 4 decades. I hope you know how rare that is. I look out in this room and I wonder, some of the faces that I see might have been married by Jack, and others, you have loved ones that were buried by Jack. Some of you might have even raised children together with Barbara and Jack, and now your grandchildren might be of a similar age. His ministry has impacted this church in immeasurable ways, and it is crucial that you remember, that you honor, that you cherish and treasure that love that he has given this congregation, and that I'm sure, he will always have for you. I could say the same thing of the gift that has been the ministry of Mike Cogdell during this interim season. I know Dr. Cogdell well enough to know that there are few ministers as compassionate, hardworking, experienced, and wise as he. And I know that you've all been blessed by his ministry, and I know that he says the same thing about all of you. I can go yet on and speak of the love that exists behind me, the love that I remember that brought me to this place and to this time with you. My experience, like most of you, is a balance of challenge and blessing, but I have had some incredible people walking with me along the way, including, as Valerie shared earlier, Dr. Charles Edwards, who presided over my baby dedication, over my baptism, and even was involved in my ordination. We have that connection together. He continues, by the way, to support me with his wisdom and prayers, and he prays for all of you. My friends, we all have a great deal to remember, and we should make every effort to express the gratitude that we feel for those amazing people, just as Paul is doing here in his letter to the Philippians. But we also need to remember something else. As Christians, we are called to keep moving forward. Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland has a lot of great quotes, but one that might be helpful for us to hear today is a conversation between Alice and the White Queen. Alice says, very reasonably, "I'm pretty sure my memory only works one way. I can't remember things before they happen. To which the White Queen replies, "It's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards." As disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to remember our future mindset. In other words, we are called to encounter the world, to encounter life, to encounter the people within them through the lens of eternity. As a result, we're called to do very strange things like love and pray for our enemies, because the eternal God that we worship, that loves us, also wants to have a relationship with them. Or perhaps we're called to endure suffering with gladness, because it brings us closer to the suffering of Jesus, the suffering that he did on behalf of all humanity when he died on the cross. We are not made to dwell just on the past, no matter how wonderful or nostalgic the past may seem. In verses 9 through 11 of our text, Paul shares his vision for how the Philippians should continue moving forward. "And this is my prayer," he writes, "that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." Paul didn't know whether he would ever see his friends in Philippi again, but he understood that the mission of Jesus Christ continues beyond his life, and that mission is one of love. Paul reminds his friends, and he reminds us today, that love offers greater knowledge, full insight. Love purifies us. Love erases our faults. Love is unique. Shannon, you said this. It's unique among all resources because it always can be more. It continues to grow. It can never be exhausted. There is always room. Zebulun Baptist Church has an uncommon history of love. And here we are today, looking to enter a new chapter together, one through which the mission of love continues to carry us together. We cannot fall into the trap of thinking that God's best work is behind us. My friends, the glory days, whatever that means, are not long gone. God is alive in this place, and he is alive in each of us. Together, we have the opportunity to continue participating in God's creative, redemptive work in this world that sorely needs a message of love. There will be challenges from time to time. There may come a time when God leads us to a place that is outside of our comfort zone, leads us to encounter people we just as soon pass by and say, "I'd rather walk barefoot through a truck stop bathroom." But the mission goes on in us. We remember the love that got us here. We remember that love will keep us going. Amen.